Back here on the Mighty 690 as we go throughout a Monday edition of the program here. Happy to have you along. And joining us, we have, you're now, what, Vice President of Coffeeville Amateur Radio Club?
I'm now Vice President.
That's right.
I was demoted.
You were demoted. Yep. That's how it goes. So unlike the national stuff, you can continue to serve as vice president. So
right.
Here we are with John Vest from the Coffeeville Amateur Radio Club. Good morning, sir. And,
good morning.
Good to have you on here. So, hey, it's hard to believe we're starting to get into springtime here, and always exciting to have that. And nicer weather and get outside and, you know, maybe work on some antennas and that sort of thing.
Yeah, springtime is a good time to do a lot of antenna work. And it's a good time to start in the ham radio field to start learning stuff and be able to get your license and to start learning how to put up antennas.
That's right. So, and we have been working on kind of a antenna outdoor related project here with the club. So, one thing that I know we'll be talking about and getting a few updates here at our meeting tonight is we're entering the digital realm. So, although it is the Coffeeville Amateur Radio Club, we have a system out in Bartlett, Kansas on the grain elevator out there. And, it's right now a normal repeater, and people will be familiar with that. Maybe the fire and police, a similar system to what they use. But we're actually going to be upgrading that to a digital radio system. And if you're interested in learning about digital radio and what that all entails, well, tonight we're going to actually
tomorrow
night. That's right. Thank you. That's why you're here. Tomorrow night we're going to have a presentation on what digital radio kind of is, this whole DMR system.
And he's going to present it, and he's going to explain everything to it. I don't know that much about digital radios, and I'm going to be real happy to learn, because that's the thing that I really want to get into is digital radios. It opens up a whole new area of radios.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really don't know a lot about it either, so I'd be interested in learning more about it. The neat thing is, of course, that this whole system, which it can be hooked into the internet and allows you to talk a long way. So basically, you're an RF connection from your radio to the repeater, and then from there it's hooked in with the internet and you can talk quite a way. So be neat for those hams that are just getting into it to kind of get a little bit of a taste of that long distance communication. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be looking forward to learning about that. But yeah, the club definitely making waves and upgrading a few things, and we're looking forward to having this new technology. And the neat thing is, we found a local source that actually has it. And we've got a good price on it, and we're looking to and put that up for the use of the public.
Right, and learning more about that is going to be very, very interesting for me. And then another thing, figuring out what type of radio to go with it is going to be the thing, because there are a lot of different types of digital radios out there and a lot of different brands that are interchangeable and some aren't. So finding out which ones will work with our system will be kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is true. And so this new system that we're putting in Bartlett, which is you'll still be able to reach it here from Coffeeville, but it's really going to serve that kind of gap between Coffeeville over to Labette County and even over to the Missouri line, is going to be good for those folks interested in that. It really does kind of fill a gap. It'll still do analog, but it'll also do a digital as well, which is great. But this is going to be able to be used by those entry level technicians. That's the kind of the first entry level your way into amateur radio. And John, I was wondering if you could take the time maybe to talk a little bit about, what is that first kind of technician class, and how can people actually get a license? Because, amateur radio is a licensed hobby.
Right. Getting a license is not that hard anymore. Used to, you had to have Morse code. You do not have to have that anymore. But nowadays, we can take and have a class and teach you everything in 3 to 4 days, just a couple hours a day. teach you all you need to know to be able to pass your exam, and then you can get your license and get on the air. It is not hard. It really isn't. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely, you know, we've got a lot of young kids that are able to do it. And with that first technician level test, you're able to use basically, you know, they're like a lot better walkie-talkies. They may have used as a kid, but you could like only talk to each other. Well, this you can talk a lot more on, and there's systems in place that you can talk on. So great for, you know, emergency communication. I mean, the fact that, hey, a couple weeks ago, John, we had a lot of people, even in Coffeyville, their cell phones didn't work.
Yes, and a lot of people were relying on radios at that point in time, because for almost a day, a lot of people's cell phones didn't work. And I noticed a lot of influx in our traffic on our repeaters that day. And it's a good thing that we have them set up, because there have been a lot of people that wouldn't have been able to have got a hold of other people, things like that. And you'll hear people pass messages to other people to call them up and let them know that, you know, or to check on somebody. And we have that happen all the time. That people do that. And I mean, we do it in emergency situations, plus we do it in regular situations. You know, if somebody can't get a hold of somebody, they can get a hold of a ham radio operator. They can get a hold of someone on the radio and have them check on somebody. I mean, it's kind of an interesting deal.
Yeah, and we've had several, you know, couples, husbands and wives who are both licensed, and that's great because, you know, then they have another way to communicate. If they have other problems communicating, they can just switch right over to that. So, yeah, as we kind of realize that, I think our communications infrastructure is not maybe as robust as we hoped it would be. It's a bit of a, I call it a false sense of security when, you know, we think about this cell network and the fact that it can be, you know, taken down and go down for, you know, hours, days at a time, maybe even. I mean, that's a little bit concerning. So I think, you know, this is one of those ways that, you know, we can get more people in the hobby. Just, you know, some people might call that like a prepper mindset. Maybe it is, but just, I think for me, it's peace of mind knowing that, yeah, you have another way to communicate. You're not just reliant on a network, a hardwired network, you know, that you can kind of go above that and have an additional way to communicate.
That's just like coming into storm season. If we have a tornado or something that takes out, or even high winds that takes out a cell phone tower, people around here are going to be without communications.
Yeah.
Most people don't even have landlines anymore. Everybody is basically tied to their cell phone anymore.
Yeah, or if it's a landline, it's not a real copper one. It's, right. You know, the voice over internet.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, we've got lots of these towns around here that only have one cell tower.
Yes.
And so if that goes down or there's a problem with that, then they're not going to be able to communicate. So, yeah, if this is something you're interested in, we do have Jacob is a club president now, has revamped the website, and CoffeyvilleARC.org. There's a lot of good information on there. In fact, if you go over there, there's just a button right in the middle that says, you know, if you want to learn more about becoming a ham, you can click that and it'll take you to the information. But it's a 35 question test. There's a question pool that you can study from. And the cool thing is, you get the exact questions and answers within the question pool. They may mix up the order, but it's all multiple choice.
Right.
And so you study that question pool. They'll select from that pool your actual test, and then you can get licensed. And we do them right at our normal meetings.
Yes. I mean, right, you know, any meeting you want to come to, just let us know a couple of weeks in advance so that we can make sure we have our VEs, our testers, there so that they can make sure, you take the test and everything. But we can set it up for any meeting you want to.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I just wanted to pass on that information here. And switching gears, John, just a little bit, we do have some sad news to relay. Of course, I'm sure you heard about the Bob Heil passing away.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're in the amateur radio community or even the professional sound community, the music community, you may know the name Bob Heil. Of course, he was pretty pioneering in a lot of microphones. He had that talk box, yes. the guitarists and stuff would use on stage and performing. And he was actually not too far away from here, lived a lot of his life in the Missouri Ozarks.
Yes, he lived over by Branson and over in that area. And I actually got to meet him a few times and talk to him over there. So it was kind of a honor to be able to talk to the man.
Oh, that is cool. You know, I actually got to see him at Dayton. He was kind of preoccupied, so I didn't get the chance to introduce myself, unfortunately. But, you know, he's done so much for the hobby of amateur radio. I know he's written several books on ham radio. Yes. And even more recently with the Ham Nation, which if you're interested in amateur radio, I'd recommend. It's a video kind of podcast called Ham Nation. They do it, I believe, every other Wednesday. And it's on the Ham Radio Crash Course YouTube channel.
Yes.
And it's Bob actually was kind of instrumental in getting that started. And you know, they do the stream of it. And they even, I believe, broadcast that live on one of the shortwave radio stations out of Nashville on WTWW, I believe, if they're still doing that. So that's a good place where, you know, it's kind of the headlines of the ham radio world. And they still have Gordon West, who is one of the heavyweights there in ham radio and written lots of books on studying. Because that's the other thing. If you want to study, there's a lot of great material out there by, you know, private authors or the ARRL, which is the Organization for Amateur Radio. But yeah, it's just a bummer that we've lost Bob Heil, but, yep. You know, I still have a project that I'm working on, and he started this a couple of years ago, the Pine Board Project, to kind of get people interested back in the roots of building radios, because, Johnny, you probably remember, and, you know, even folks a little bit older than you, back when they got into ham radio, you had to build it.
Yeah, you built your own radio. And I mean, and it was back then, it was tubes.
Yeah.
It wasn't transistors like it is nowadays.
Well, people literally just kind of scavenge around. And, you know, you had these arbitrary, you know, it seems like today arbitrary plans is like, okay, here's like a schematic and a paragraph. Now build a transmitter. And people did it somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah. I mean, you watch an old, there's an old Andy Hardy movie that has them calling, going to a kid's basement, and this kid was like 12-13 years old, and he had built this big radio system in his basement back then, and this was in the 30s.
Wow.
And I mean, it was pretty neat, and I mean, it was on the air.
That is so cool. So, you know, a couple of years ago, Bob Heil started this Pine Board Project, and I actually built some of the components of it. You start with a power supply and then an audio equalizer and then the actual transmitter, and it's all literally built on a little block of wood and with components, and he encourages people, hey, you know, just look around to find some old parts and put these together, and he gives you the links if you're having trouble finding some of those parts. But it's been cool, and I've still kind of gathered a few parts in my spare time. I'll build the other components of it, but it's definitely neat. I mean, he's just done quite a lot for the hobby, so I thought we'd just mention that because, you know, it's kind of a neighbor here within the KGGF listening area, and passing away at the age of 83. But I know even late into he had about a year-long illness or so, but even into that, he was doing Zoom meetings with amateur radio clubs all across the country. I mean, all during COVID, almost on a nightly basis, I'm pretty sure, he was doing Zoom meetings and presentations with different clubs and really giving back. So it's neat that we have so many people in the hobby who want to share it.
Yes, and that's another thing. You can go online and watch YouTubes about ham radio and learn quite a bit on the YouTubes also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the really neat thing is what we have in today's world. It's so much easier than it was back in the... No Morse code. YouTube is your friend because there's so many great YouTube channels out there related to ham radio. And you've got ARRL, which has a lot of great resources, you know, training and magazines and all that sort of thing. And then the equipment itself is a lot cheaper than it used to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nowadays you can get into it for $20, $25 for just a handheld radio.
Oh, yeah.
And used to it was hundreds.
And I was first licensed, I think, in 2009. And back then, I mean, a cheap radio is going to be about $200.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's in the last 5 years, the prices have came way down.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, John, if people are interested in learning more about ham radio in a hands-on kind of way, we do have Claremore Ham Fest coming up.
Yes, coming up next month on, I believe it's the...
I think it's the...
19th or... Hang on just a second. I'm not sure exactly.
I jumped that one on you.
Yep.
It is the Green Country Ham Fest, and it's April 12th and 13th.
12th and 13th. Okay.
And the prizes we have, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
We have the first prize is the Yaesu FTDX10. I mean, that's a nice
radio.
HF radio. Second place is a FT991A. That's a bit of a smaller HF is like the high frequency bands. It's like for general class operators. Third place is the Yaesu FT891, which is a it's like a good mobile radio.
Yes.
And then they have another special prize. Looks like a FT710 AESS. And I don't pretend to know what all of these are, that is a big HF radio.
Plus, they give away a handheld every hour on the hour.
Yeah, they do. And you won one of those last year.
Yep. And a couple of years before that and a couple of years that.
Yeah, every time. So there's going to be a bunch of prizes and a bunch of different vendors. So Hamfests are a great way to come and see what ham radio is all about. They've got forums. They've got all sorts of things. So I know here next month we'll be reminding people, but we do have Green Country Hamfest coming up April 12th and 13th. This is going to be in Claremore, Oklahoma. And
you can even take your... It's at the Civic Center.
Expo Center. Yep.
And you can even take your test down there.
You can.
That if you wanted to.
Yeah, and you can just walk in usually and just take your test.
Yep.
And $15 is the typical VE fee there. So, yeah, there's all sorts of great stuff. We'll be telling you a little bit more about this coming up, but just mark your calendars for that. And then, of course, we have the big one, the Dayton Hamvention,
yep,
coming up the end of May.
Yep.
And that's the giant biggest one in the U.S. It's a huge, but, hey, there's even, never made it down there, but it's every February they have Orlando Hamcation. So
yes.
That's another big one.
And this last weekend they had a storm spotter convention type deal over in Springfield.
Oh, okay.
And there was, of course, lots of hams over there for that. And they had kind of a small ham fest during it, too. So.
Hey, that's very good. So, John, if people are interested in learning more about the Coffeyville Amateur Radio Club, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
They can call me or text me 24 hours a day at 620-515-0097. And I will answer my phone, and I answer text messages, like I said, basically 24 hours a day.
Yep, pretty much. And, hey, I do want to remind you, too, if you are listening here but you're a ways from Coffeyville, there's a lot of other amateur radio clubs in the area, so don't just think that we're the only one. Independence has one, and they have their meetings the first Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m. in the basement of the Judicial Center in Independence. If you want to check out their website, it's n0id.org. And if you're outside of that, I have had some of the listeners contact me and say, hey, you know, I'm in another part of the listening area. Well, if you want to find a club near you, the ARRL has a club finder that is pretty good. So if you just search for ARRL club finder, you'll be able to put in your zip code or city or county or whatever, and it will pull up a list of amateur radio clubs in your area with their website and contact information, and then you can find out what amateur radio club is near you. Because, I mean, we have two fairly active clubs here in the county, but there's other ones around, and
yeah,
there's a lot in Tulsa too. If you're listening in Oklahoma,
yes,
Tulsa is a great club. They're very active, and I mean, there's several in the Tulsa area.
Oh yeah,
sure.
Bartlesville, I think have
yeah.
two.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. So,
and they, you can just go to any of them anytime you want to. You know, any one of their meeting nights. Everybody is welcome at any ham club.
Yeah, and most of us are members of multiple ham clubs. So
yes.
Don't feel like you just have to pick one. Or,
yeah.
It's not like a church. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, hey, John, appreciate you coming on by. Looking forward to our meeting is going to be tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Coffeyville's Reawakening. And that is 115 West 9th Street. Probably still best to park in the back because they're finishing up. They're still working on some of that construction there in the front. So all are welcome to the meeting, and I hope people can come on by and learn more about amateur radio. We're going to have a presentation on digital DMR radio. And so this will be interesting if you want to learn something new. And, of course, all our usual club business and everything there. So.
And if you want to talk about anything, if you want to ask questions, you're more than welcome to during the meeting.
Yes, yes. Come with your questions. We love
yes.
to help answer them. And, you know, we're always happy to help each other out, too. If folks have a tower that needs to get up, maybe they're looking for help on an antenna. Or maybe you're just starting out and you need some equipment. Most of the time, I mean, we can get you something loaned out. Because if there's anything about ham radio operators, we all have too much junk.
So yep.
We're always happy to pawn it off. So, hey, appreciate you coming on by, John. And
I appreciate you all having us.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All righty.
Okay, John Vest of the Coffeyville Amateur Radio Club. And don't forget, we have that meeting coming up at you. It's going to be tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at Coffeyville's Reawakening. More open lines straight ahead here on KGGF.